Hello and welcome to Florida Bodybuilding. I'm your host, IPB Ferb of All the Slut. And my co-pilot, as always, is Mr. John Hawley. How are you, sir?
Hey, doing great, Travis. Looking forward to tonight's interview.
Actually, that's a perfect segue. We have a very special guest this evening. We are joined by NPC National Figure Champion and new IFBB Pro, Whitney Armstrong. Hello and welcome.
Hello, it's nice to be here.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Welcome to the league.
It's a blessing, an honor, and a privilege. Thank you.
Now, can you talk to us a little bit about NPC Nationals 2017? What did you think about the package that you brought to the stage?
Honestly, I was extremely proud of this prep. I had gotten my feedback from Junior USA's. I did that show back in May, and the first thing that the head judge, Sandy, gave me said she wanted me to bring up my hamstrings and my glute development. And I said, okay, I've always been the type of where I have a body part that I need to fix. When I first start training it, I hate it.
But I probably love it.
Yes, and so by the end of this prep, I said, you know, leg day is my favorite day because I wanted to focus on improving my overall package, you know, bringing up my shoulders, widening my back to make my waist look smaller, things like that. But my main focus was where when I turned to the curtain, I wanted to be wiped out. I wanted them to see the hard work.
I wanted them to see the hard work I put in. Now to me, your legs are some of your best features. Where do you think that comes from? How long have you been training leg?
I would say that definitely I have been blessed with very great genetics. I am built like my father, actually. He's a former linebacker. So I actually have his build and his stature. He's about 6 foot. I'm about 5'8" and a half or so. So that's where I would say I get the legs from, the strength. But in terms of training and competing, I've always lifted weights, but I would say this is the first time where I really focused on this prep, especially I really focused on my training. During the off season, when I took a break after Junior USA's, I said I'm going to dedicate myself to lifting as heavy as I can with correct form. But I wanted to make sure I put on the right amount of muscle in the right paces.
If I could just interject, could you say that please just one more time?
With what? With the right form and technique.
Yes.
I know, I see a lot of people, they just lift, they think that they're lifting heavy, and they think that they're doing something, but it's all about the form and technique, and I had to learn that the hard way myself.
What are you working? Absolutely. I preach volume all the time. I've never been on stage and somebody's like, okay, well, whoever can press this much, you know, that person's the winner. Like, it matters not the weight, and people seem to get caught up on, you know, the numbers. And so how long was your prep?
This prep was 16 weeks. We started very slow. It didn't feel like it. It's interesting. Like people say, oh, 16 weeks, that's 4 months. It didn't feel like it. The first month, we kept the cardio very low, no crazy amounts of cardio or anything like that. And it was really just focusing on what we wanted to improve. I knew from Junior USA, as soon as I saw the pictures, I said, I want to have pumpkins for shoulders. I want them to be bigger, especially my rear delts, which I've always struggled with. I've always wanted to have, like, my biggest idols, obviously on the Olympia stage. My favorite, obviously, is Miss Figure Olympia, Sydney Gillian. She's my favorite.
Oh,
I love her. I patterned my whole look on stage and even my posing routine after her. That's how much I love her. And
I say if you go to steal from the best.
Yes. And so for me, that was a big motivating factor. And I love Latoria. I love her back. I love her lats and her shoulders too. And same thing with Candace and that tiny waist. So I really tried to incorporate or have a vision in my head, and obviously what my coach wanted as well, in my mind for what I wanted to improve upon. But the main thing that I would say that I did differently in this prep is my mindset was different. Again, I feel like everything happens for a reason, and I had to have a very humbling moment after Junior USA's where I placed very well. But
that's kind of what I want to ask you about. You placed 13th, yes?
Second.
No, exactly. Like you said, 13th at a national show, that's super respectable, because we see people that play 16th and sometimes don't even place that actually go on to earn pro cards down the road.
Right. I played 13th in Miami last year, and then I went to Junior USA's in May, this past May, and got second place.
That 13th, was it encouraging or discouraging, or how did that work for you?
It hurt because I had, it was my first, I'd only been competing at that time for 6 months, and I had won all of my shows in the state of North Carolina and South Carolina. I'd won all the overall titles.
You were that shit. You were on the national stage wondering, what? You're out there giving it to him, like, why aren't they calling my number? Why aren't they calling my number?
Yeah, I kind of was like, I went out there and I was kind of like, this is a hard, I knew that Nationals is like the national show to go to. Like, back in the old days of bodybuilding, like, Nationals and USA's were like the shows where you could get your pro card. All the other shows started popping up, but, those are the big boy shows, especially the national championships. So, the fact that I was there, I'm like, these are like the best of the best. So I was, looking at it from that regard, but at the same time, I was like, I want to do well and competitive, but it was humbling. That was a humbling experience, but that was motivating. And I said, I want to come back and I want to crush my 2017 look. And I feel like I did that when I went to Junior USA's.
I maintain sometimes the best thing that could happen to you is to get, your ass handed to you and to kind of go back to the drawing board and kind of rework. No, seriously.
Yeah, I agree.
But to your story, Whitney, it wasn't the 13th at Nationals in 2016 that really set the fire under you as much apparently as that second at Junior USA's after
that
you got in first place at the Charlotte Cup. So what was it in your psyche or your heart of hearts that caused you to as you had posted on IG, you had a specific quote that I saw. It's where is it in all this? After Junior USA's, I took a long look at myself and I decided I no longer wanted to live a life I wasn't proud of. I'm thinking, you just got second. What aren't you proud of?
that one is, I'm going to get a little personal with you. That prep, I was proud of that prep too, because I had done so well bouncing back from the 13th place to go into another IFBB pro qualifier, and I actually ended up getting second by a tiebreaker. And that hurt. That hurt a lot. You're walking in there, and I thought that I loved the look that we had. I thought I had it, and then, to get second, I took it hard. But I think the thing that I needed to learn in that, when that happened to me, was that, like I said, everything happens for a reason. I feel like when you're given success, there's a responsibility that comes along with it. And in May, I wasn't ready to be a pro. Mm. And I had to admit that to myself.
Mm. Wow, and that's very mature.
Yeah, I wasn't ready. I feel like at that time I hadn't earned it. I hadn't cried about it yet. I hadn't, not to say I didn't want it enough, but I hadn't had that desire to where you get knocked down to where you feel like,
along the way.
Right. And you feel like you want to give up, but you can't. Like, I didn't have that yet. And Junior USA's after that, when I had returned to Charlotte, I actually didn't know if I was going to be able to physically compete again because I ended up getting sick. And so, again, you know, you have to kind of reset your mind and be like, can I even do this again physically at this point, not just mentally? Mm-hmm. And that was hard to grapple with. So I had to literally sit down and have multiple discussions with my coach and, you know, and tell him, like, I want to do this, but we need to have a game plan for this, because I want to make sure that if I do this again, I'm going to put my all into it, and I want to be successful at it.
You want to come away with the card.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And
now, you briefly mentioned your coach. Who is it that you work with? Who guides you?
Yes, my coach, and I feel like, hands down, he is the best coach in the world. I know everybody says that, but my coach's name is Terry Davis. He is the co-founder of Megaflex Gym in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I train out of, and he's also the leader, head coach, and everything of Hard Body Fitness Personal Training Group, which is my team that I am a part of. Two of my other teammates also are IFBB pros. Kara Davis, she got her pro card at Junior USA. She was the overall title winner in Class B. And then Shauna Bell got her pro card in 2015 in Miami in Class E in figure.
You guys seem to be just churning them out.
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah. We're the only ones in Charlotte that have three pros on the same team, and me and Kara got our pro cards in less than 5 months apart. So, he's clearly doing something right. I call him the king of figure. And he laughs, but I think he's a great coach. He's very patient with me. We've had a lot of moments where, like I said, I wanted things to be my way, but he was patient with me. When I first started, my first prep was my hardest because you don't know what to expect.
No point of reference, know what to expect.
Right. And he just the whole time, like, talked me through it. You know, we obviously went in my first show, I won, and, you know, I didn't know what to expect, you know, so going out there and winning was awesome, but with each prep it's been different. But he's one of those guys that is like a 360 thinker. Like, he's already thinking of what he's going to do before I even come to him and say, hey, I have this question. He's like, oh, no, we are, I already know what I'm going to do. And that's awesome in a coach. So he's great.
with Tara and Shauna, did they both rise to the IFBB pro status in 4 or 5 shows like you did?
Super quickly like yourself, right?
No, it took Kara, I believe, 4 or 5 years to get her pro card, and I think it took Shauna about two. So I think I got mine the quickest. Yeah, I got mine last, but I got mine the quickest. So
he's getting better. He's getting better.
You did rock it.
Really good.
straight to the league. So you're somewhat new to bodybuilding, but you're an athlete. Yes, mm-hmm. I mean you competed in other things before this.
Yes, I did. I was a in high school, I did basketball, volleyball, track, and rowing. And then in college, I did rowing. And that's how I got my full scholarship to Rutgers. So I'm no stranger to the weight room, to working out, to, you know, being on a set schedule in terms of, you know, diet or anything like that. But after college is where I struggled because I had to kind of find myself and find my niche. And that's when I actually started to gain weight. You know, post-college, you're just struggling. You're like, well, what do I do now? You know, I'm a student athlete, and I don't know what to do with the rest of my life if I'm not going to graduate school. Or if I am, what do I do? And I honestly had no desire to compete. I had none. When I found Terry, I said, I just want to, you know, just get in better shape.
And that was the initial motivation.
Right. Just get in better shape and improve what I already had. And he was like, you know, have you ever thought about competing? And I said, you know, people approach me about it all the time. But I said, no, I really have no real desire to do that. And he was like, you should try it. And I said, no, well let's lose some weight first. And like,
right,
you know,
let's hit these goals
muscle.
First and then.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I did a plan that was like 16 weeks, but ended up, you know, losing like 30 pounds and put on some great size and looked great, felt great for when I had to do my basketball games and when I refereed. And so I said, you know what, let's try this competing thing. And
okay,
fell in love with
Hold
it.
On. You just gave us some new information. You also referee?
Yes, I referee women's NCAA division 1, 2, and 3 basketball. I started that when I was I started refereeing when I was 9. My father is a former men's.
Wait a minute. Wait, hold on, stop. Did you say when you were 9?
Yes, when I was 9. Yes. My father would take me to games with him when I was young, and so I've been around sports all my life. My mother used to play volleyball and softball, you know, so I feel like it's been ingrained in me to be an athlete. And my father would take me to his games, and I just said, you know, I want to give this a try. And so I would started doing like little kindergartners, and I'm like 9 years old, and sure enough, you know, just climbed up the ladder and went to my first, camp when I was older.
Wow.
I mean, it was crazy, you know, I never thought that I would envision doing that and fall in love with it, you know, and people always ask me, does it bother you when people yell at you? Not really. Because they don't know what the heck they're talking about half the time.
I've been doing this since I was 9. I got this.
When you mentioned your dad was taking you to games as well, he was a linebacker, right? Did he play? Was it college? Was it what was he? Which is there some secret here? You're going to pop out and say he was an NFL player?
No, he never, my parents actually, they never went to college, which is why I think they stressed upon me the value of my education, but they never went to college. My father, he is born and raised in North Carolina, and he had to work out of high school. So he had to work to support, you know, my his brothers and sisters and my grandparents, and then he eventually went into the Army where he met my mother.
Nice.
And they've been married and been there for 41 years this past September. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. And they're my rocks. You know, I'm an only child. So, having that support system, my parents love going to my shows. They love seeing me on stage and competing. They're already asking, you know, when is your pro debut going to be? We already want to know so we can come and
see. Well, that's what we want to know too. Have you had a chance to look at the schedule?
We have, and we're thinking about sometime in June. That's what we're ballparking for June. I personally,
is that the same time as Charlotte Europa?
I think they're taking Europa out of Charlotte, or they don't have it for figure, which is disappointing.
Okay.
That would have been awesome because they had it last year, and I think it was men's physique and women's physique and men's
physique. Yeah, I know they did have men's physique for sure.
Yeah, they rotate the schedule. I shot you that first year you competed at Charlotte. Yeah, you did some comparison pictures too, which I thought was pretty cool. How you really tightened up from Charlotte to Nationals, but you just kind of drew it in. So it doesn't work. So now you say summer, but you seem to have had a fairly long off season early in the year. Is it what are you thinking? You need to change. Do you need a few months off, getting off the diet? How are things going to lead into, do you have some kind of game plan already that you can share with us as far as diet, training, going into that debut?
Yeah, sure. So after Thanksgiving, I definitely enjoyed myself. but my biggest thing now is just making sure we're reverse dieting out of the last prep and still staying fairly lean. So that way, I think my biggest goal, or Terry's goal for me, is to be at least body wise 6 to 7 weeks out of the show.
Okay.
In the off season. That's the plan, which I think is definitely realistic and doable just because I don't want to have to do a long prep this time. I want to already come in fairly conditioned to be where I want to be so that way when we have to, you know, drop the hammer and dial it in, we don't have to do too much.
No specific body parts that you want to bring up in the interim?
Yes, definitely still, again, glutes and hamstrings for sure. It's funny, I really want to make sure, the pictures that I took, at Nationals this year, I thought that I had gotten just a tad bit softer, on stage versus when I took a progress picture. I think, John, there's a picture of me where I said on my Instagram page, you know, the final reveal at Showtime. Mm-hmm. That was literally 20 minutes before I stepped on stage. Mm-hmm. And then when I looked at my pictures, from when I actually, you know, my stage pictures, I said, oh my God, just a tad bit. I wish I would have kept that look that I had before, because I think that would have just set it apart. Mm-hmm. Even when I got my score. But definitely glutes and hamstrings. I want to, again, still bring out my shoulders. Definitely rear delts again in a medial. And then I also want to bring out, make my back wider. My back and my legs are definitely my strongest point with my
degrees.
And so I just want to thank you. And I just want to keep on improving upon those. Those are really like the biggest things, at least in my mind, I want to bring up, but I know Terry already has like a game plan for this first show that we're going to do. Which I'm thinking at this point, it's not 100% like confirmed yet, but I'm thinking it may be Europa Dallas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm excited about it just because I know the history of that show. And I'm excited because I can bring a level of conditioning that I think would be very pretty and very acceptable on that stage, you know. And so I'm excited about that as well.
That leads me to my next question. Are you at all leery about two-day shows? I know some competitors tend to shy away from two-day shows, you know, because they have to maintain the conditioning. Is that a concern at all, or?
No, not at all, because really and truly, I do literally what Terry says to do, I do it. So I'm not really too concerned about it, because he's like the mastermind behind all of that for me. So when you have a good coach, you really don't feel too nervous about it. Like, he already has it mapped out in his mind of how it's going to go. So holding that conditioning for an extra day would be, yeah, it really does. And so holding that for an extra day won't be a big deal. And plus, I've done Europa Charlotte, and it's the exact same format. So I'm familiar with holding that for another day. So it'll be okay.
Point of reference matters.
I'm curious. Mm-hmm. I'm curious too, being that we've seen so many of these gals that are in the shorter classes do so well. And it's kind of been a tradition that Utah girls have a little bit more of a challenge to deal with them. But I'm looking at the shape of your legs and that taper that you've got, and I'm thinking, well, you know, you seem to be pretty competitive. It's just you're a lot taller, whereas some of the other girls may not. What's your perspective on that? Do you think you can be competitive with these shorter girls that are more compact and maybe don't have as much fill out?
Yes. I think I can definitely be competitive. Like, another goal that I did have for my offseason that I did forget to mention is putting on size, also thickness as well. because I'm tall, I don't want to have that, especially when we start to diet down, I don't want to have that quote-unquote skinny look mm-hmm. where you're conditioned, but you still look skinny on stage.
Yeah.
And I feel like I could definitely be competitive on that level if I have that extra flair or that extra addition to my physique. Mm-hmm. That thickness would be able to set it apart because, for example, I used to train with Kara all the time, and we still train together, but Kara's in C class when she was an amateur, and so I was like, I can't look at you because our musculature is different, and I couldn't compare myself to her because it, you know.
It's oranges.
Right, and so once I got out of that mindset, I started to see the beauty in my own physique and what I wanted to make better on myself. Mm-hmm. And
oftentimes as mm-hmm. competitors, you know, we can't, it's like, you know, forest for the trees.
Right. And so it was easier to, once I got that out of my mind and comparing, I was like, I'm good. And so it was definitely better for me to look at it that way. But I feel like I can be competitive. I know taller girls tend to have a harder time. But I feel like with the right addition to what I already have, which I think I have great genetics, obviously, too, but then with the package that we brought in Nationals, if I just make that even better and just focus on beating my last look, I feel like I can accomplish anything.
Well, and it's not a prescription where you take a magic pill either. I mean, you're an athlete
mm-hmm.
like Travalis. I mean, we've spoken off mic about this and your similar training styles. Could you talk about that? Not only do you have the background with you know, basketball, the rowing that's helped maybe with your legs and your back, but you're accustomed to weight training. You know, you're actually mm-hmm. you enjoy that process like Travalis. So could you share a bit of that so people know it's not just a little pose and a magic pill?
Sure. I mean, I can take you actually through my day. I mean, I work a regular 9-to-5 job like everybody else, but I wake up every day at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm out the door by 4:30 and in the gym by 5, you know. During this last prep when we started, I was doing cardio every day before I started my lifts, and it was a lot of high volume, you know, 15 reps towards the end of prep, definitely, you know, to prevent injuries, you know, we were keeping it light, but we were still making sure, again, with form, you know, everything in terms of, you know, whatever day I was training, if it was back day or something, 15 reps. But the way I train, I look at it like I'm doing 15 reps, but it's 15 reps as heavy as I can go, as heavy and hard as I can go with correct form again. So my 15 may be different than somebody else's 15. Because some people think that 15 reps, you know, they'll say, oh, well, that's high reps. I'm like, yeah, it's high, but it's heavy. You can go over that 15. Those last three should be a struggle. Especially when you're hard to lead.
To me, you shouldn't always get all of your reps. And if you do, it's too late.
Right, right. That's how I always train. Carrie's very big on volume. And so it's funny when I train with somebody else, whether they may compete or they don't, they say your pace is crazy. And I don't notice it. I mean, can you speak to it? I mean, I don't notice it because I'm just so used to it.
I would imagine just because from your background and you're so keyed into what it is you're doing, you seem like you have, you know, a passion for it. So it's really easy to just mm-hmm. kind of get, you know, focused in and, you know, the world kind mm-hmm. of disappears. So, yeah, I absolutely get that.
Right. So, mm-hmm.
How long are your training sessions typically? Is it you go in every day, you split it up sometimes? Is it an hour, 2 hours?
Right. I'm in the morning, because I have to be to work by 8:30. I'm usually, after cardio, I would say about an hour and a half for the lift. I would do, 30 minutes of cardio in the morning, come back in the evening, finish cardio if I had any left over. And then Terry would say, do random stuff. And random stuff would always just be like, just have fun. And so I would make up these workouts in the middle of the day while, you know, while I'm at work. And I would just say, you know, I'm really going to try and do this. And, you know, maybe things I haven't trained before. Like I rarely train arms because my arms are already kind of big and I don't want them to be even bigger for figure. It's not necessary. So I would,
you know, it's good that you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not everything grows or, you know, responds in the same fashion. So you may not have to train everything, you know, equally as hard or as often.
Right. So for arms, I keep everything super light. But I was like, oh, we're just going to go in and do like bicep curls or, you know, we're going to do, rope pull downs or something. We're just going to do random things. Or if I want to train, like, I love back. Like, back day and legs are my favorite days. So if I say, okay, I want to do back and maybe we'll throw in some chest. And so I'll do bench press. So I would do random things in the afternoon, keeping it again about 15 reps or so. But towards the end of prep, as I, you know, fatigue started to set in, I would bump it up to 20 to 25 because I wasn't trying to put on muscle at that point. I had all the muscle that I could have at that point. It just was more so just going in just to burn some extra calories, have some fun, and just kind of unwind from the day.
You mentioned two-a-days. For how long during your prep did you go to the gym twice a day?
I would say I think in the last 4 weeks. Now the week, I don't know where that energy came from. Cause at that point I was, my carbs were very low at that point. But for some reason, I was able to just kind of push through it. I was getting, I was going at one point, you know, carbs from veggies the whole week. And then Sunday I would get a refeed and that refeed would carry me through a few days. And then I would start to, you know, feel it again. That was just, I don't know what it was. I think it was just like when we had that desire to just want to just be better. I didn't pay attention some days to how tired I was. I think I just kind of just focused on the workouts and just making sure I made it to the gym and did what I was supposed to do.
Kind of looking back on your prep, was there anything that was unique or special about it?
I would definitely say my attitude and my mindset. I would read these quotes when I started to feel myself thinking negatively or if I was having a craving for something in particular that I wanted to eat or if I just felt myself, you know, being weak-minded in terms of, like, you know, questioning myself. I would read quotes, and not just motivational quotes or, you know, anything religious, but and that's where a lot of the quotes that I post with my pictures, where I get them from, are some of the things that I even would write myself. That was just better. I think that's the biggest thing that a lot of people don't realize is that your attitude really does shape, you know, your life. And change your mindset, you can change your life. You really can.
You create your reality. You absolutely do.
Yes.
You absolutely do.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's funny, you know, and people kept on asking me, you know, congratulations, you know, did you think that this would happen? And I honestly
I did say that.
Before
you can go out and do something, you have to see it first. And that's not crazy. Like, that's not hubris. That's not, like, conceit or what have you, but to actually go out and accomplish something, you first have to see it and believe that, you know, you're capable of that thing. So I not only do I believe you, but I support you in that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I told myself I visualized this moment so many times in my mind that I feel like it just manifested itself into reality at this point.
Yeah, you have to put it out there in the universe.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, you mentioned having refeeds. Did you get any cheat meals along the way, or was it, you know, pretty structured like that?
It was pretty clean. I had a burger. I remember exactly when I had this burger, too. I had a burger at, like, 13 weeks out.
Yeah, let me tell you about it.
That's sad, right, that I remember that. I had a burger at 13 weeks out, and then I didn't get anything again until 4 weeks out, and that's when we started doing the refeeds on Sunday evening. It'd be the last meal, and I started cooking my own refeeds. I stopped eating out because I wanted to know what was going in my food, and I think that made me feel better. Yes.
Absolutely. Peace of mind.
And then for my refeeds, I did steak. Steak and a baked potato and a salad, or I would do steak and french fries. But I would cook my own steaks. I think one time I tried to make my own french fries. It didn't come out the way I wanted. So I, bought some fries, but that's what I did. And I decided to cook my own refeeds, which I prefer. And I think I'm going to start doing that more so now in my off season when I can have, cheat meals on weekends for my last meal. So it made a difference.
Is it
now?
I was going to ask you, me, the non-athlete amongst you two, Travalis has been doing this for a while, and it's a lifestyle that he's committed to, and he loves it, and he has his own philosophy that he shares with people. It's like, hey, I want to look like you, and he's, no, you don't.
There's too much work.
but he loves it, and I'm wondering if just like you were noting with your transition into this after Junior USA's, not wanting to be second, wanting to be first, wanting to be your absolute best. Have you kind of, again, like Travis will say, have you found your tribe? Is this something that, the food's not as important, or, thinking about that burger that was 13 weeks out, so many newbies, they get into this and they fall off the wagon and they're binging.
What I refer to as slow burn. You see people get jacked up for a month, 2 months, or whatever, and they're living it hard, and then they fall off.
Yeah.
I preach all the time, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Mm-hmm. And not over, a year or even, 16 months or something like that. Like, it really is a lifestyle.
Is it? Is it something that has lit a flame in you to where you found camaraderie with other athletes, where you filled that void that you had after college, to where you found something you can do that's satisfying, that'll fit into the rest of the things that are important to you in your life?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I consider, my teammates and obviously my coach, Terry, I consider them to be my family. Like I said, when I first came to Charlotte, I took a leap of faith. I came down here by myself. So finding a place where, one, you fit in, and then you really, we go over to each other's house, we have holiday parties, they are my family. And so when you have that camaraderie, and that loyalty, you cherish that. They're very rare that you meet people that, don't want to take advantage of you for their own personal gain.
Good word this evening. It's so refreshing.
It's rare. it's really rare. And so to have that,
this industry.
It's awesome. Yes, and I'm learning that too, because especially now, there's different moves and different.
They're gonna come out of the woodwork. So see, now you have that pro card. Yeah. It's a whole different thing. They're gonna come out of the woodwork. I promise you.
Yeah, I'm learning that.
Yeah, keep your eye out.
Yeah, and that's why I want to work with Terry with more of those opportunities, just because in-house, and then obviously marketing to, the people within the area in North Carolina and South Carolina or wherever, but definitely it is a marathon. It's not a quick thing that you can get into, and then I think someone asked me one time when I first started, is this a phase? And I kind of had to look at them and be like, no, it's not a phase, because if you genuinely
I'm offended right now.
Right. I kind of want to look at them and kind of shake them and be like, no, it's not a phase. I mean, don't get me wrong, it is hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, if everyone can do it, everyone's walking around shredded all the time. But it is hard. But
and people think it's the gym that's hard. All the time. No, it's the other
2
hours of the day. It's the diet. Yes, it's what you
it's
eat. How often? It's combination. Yes.
and so that to me, I tell them, I said, that's the hardest part. I mean, I can go out and work out as hard as I can all day, every day. But
that's the easy part.
If I don't eat what I'm supposed to.
You can't outwork a bad diet. So you can go to the gym and, you know, put all the work in and get the sets and have great form and good range of motion. But if you're not telling your body to do the same thing in the kitchen, it's going to be all for naught. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may actually reach your goals, but it's going to take you longer and you're going to work harder.
Right. Man. Right. And
felt like killing it for me. I just, you know, I was fixing to put some Cheez-Its on my ice cream.
you're a grown man. Do what you do, but I might talk against that.
And now, a word from our sponsors. Looking to lose weight, gain muscle, lean out, bulk up? Well, I do it all. Personalized service, detailed workouts, and most of all, results. So, you have an upcoming wedding, cruise, class reunion, or just adopting a healthier lifestyle. Hit me up. I'm at Travalis@gmail. Or on social media, Instagram, IFBB Pro, Travalis Blunt, or Travalis Blunt on Facebook. Hop in my DM or message me. And back to the show.
Yeah. And so I definitely think, you know, I tell anybody, like, you can do anything that you set your mind to. You really can. It's just about how much effort you really want to put into it, and how bad you want it. So that's honestly what I tell people that ask me, hey, I want to look like you, or what, I want to train with you, or I want to do what you do. I do say, no, you don't. But
you only,
you know, right. But I just tell them, I said, if you have a goal, if you have something, not necessarily a goal, because I feel like goals are limited, but if there's something you want to do, you can do it. You really can.
I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
Well, just a continuation of that. I keep thinking of one of our judges down here. It is in promoters at the athletes meetings, always talking about all these disjointed sort of thoughts, but the key point, I think, was that, you know, there's only 1 or 2% of the population that's interested or that can do this. I mean, they can put all the pieces together, have that mindset, handle the diet, do the workouts, and have the genetics to go with it to look like anything. So y'all are kind of a small group for one thing, but then, you know, when you're at shows and so forth, if you're nice, and, you know, Pete Fancher's known for saying this, but it's like, you know, meet somebody, you know, meet a new friend, you know, meet somebody, you know, put your hand out, because y'all are like a special breed of aliens, you know,
the cult.
And like you are with
in the best positive, most positive way. But yeah, I believe bodybuilding to be a cult.
Yeah. And
because anyone else, we're absolutely nuts. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. You're gonna get out of your bed. What time? To do what? Willingly, what everybody's making you?
Right.
and then you're gonna eat the same meal like 30 times this week? What?
Who every day?
Right. So yeah, just to find somebody who also goes through that struggle and, you know, kinda understands it and identifies with it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, and like you're saying with Terry being like family, you know, your coaches and your teammates are like family. I hear that with other teams, you know, prominent teams like Bombshell, they promote that ethos even with their non athletes, the ones that are part of the team per se, but it's a sisterhood where they're able to share and find something specifically for women after school, maybe after they've had their children. They need to find themselves. They need something. And, you know, this, you know, the whether it be competing or just regularly working out together or something of the sort, it gives you something extra to hold on to. And it sounds like you as a college, you know, as an athlete all through life, and now officiating when you're not on your day job, it's, you know, this is kind of seemingly perfect for you.
It really is, you know. I'm glad I found the sport of bodybuilding. And the thing that I definitely like about my hard body family is that, you know, it's not a big group of us. And that's fine. I know a lot of, you know, different programs or different teams. There's a ton of them, and to each his own, you know, that's great. But I really love the fact that, like, Terry is really one-on-one with his athletes. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I went through this Miami prep, like, he was really aggressive for what we wanted to fix from Charleston, Junior USA, and even from the Charlotte Cup in Miami last year, you know. And I felt like I was able to bring his vision to life on stage, you know. And that came through just literally, like, tons of one-on-one sessions and just really him being really hands-on with me during prep. And so that was good, you know, to have that. And it really is like a family, you know. And so I couldn't have asked for a better situation.
Considering,
you know, I maintain that, you know, we go on stage alone, but it really takes a village. You know, you don't see the other, you know, 90 or 95% of stuff that takes place, you know, behind the scenes.
No, people don't. I think they think that we go out there and we flex and we pose, but there's so much more that goes into it,
right.
You know. And
that's the culmination of it.
Right. And I tell them, like, you only knew how much work went into just those 30 seconds where I'm on stage.
Right.
Like, oh, my gosh. So, yeah.
I'm sure you're an inspiration to other women in your community and so forth. They're probably asking you how you look like that in the grocery store and so forth. It seems like, you know, do you see yourself being that, you know, you did graduate from Rutgers with a degree in exercise science. Do you see yourself going back and doing something related to that, considering this, or will it stay a full-time hobby?
No, actually, that's something that I actually am thinking about pursuing next year, honestly. Now that I have, I guess, I wasn't waiting until I got my pro card because it was always in the back of my mind. But I definitely definitely wanted to go back to school, possibly to either get my to get a certified as a nutritionist or to become a personal trainer. Because I do want to help out with the gym more, because I know we're thinking about expanding and opening up other facilities in the area. And then also my favorite thing, especially, and I want to help other athletes as well, my favorite thing is posing. Mm-hmm. I practice all divisions. I practice bikini, figure, and women's physique posing. And a lot of people think I'm crazy for that.
Oh, no, you're crazy like a fox.
A lot of people think I'm crazy for it, but that's where I really want to find my niche is with posing. So doing different posing seminars, like guest posing seminars with different gyms in the area in North and South Carolina, that's my next goal. And so being able to sit down and hopefully figure out how we can grow the business, myself and Terry and then some of my other teammates as well, would be a great opportunity. So, that's what I'm looking to do, because I have had a lot of people reach out. You know, they saw me at Nationals and they loved my routine. They loved how I did my quarter turns and the comparisons. And so I'm constantly being asked, you know, can I teach that? And so I'm like, no, maybe I can.
that's the perfect segue. Where can our listeners get a hold of you? Where can they find you on social media?
Yes, so my Instagram name is Cairo Triumph. I can spell it if necessary, or at Cairo Triumph. That's C as in cat, A-I-R-O-T-R-I-U-M as in mother, P-H. And then I do have a Facebook page. I have my fan page. It's if you have to search for me, it's IFBB Pro Whitney M. Armstrong. I am fully open to people contacting me and, you know, just looking at my different posts. I'm going to start doing more videos of my off season and then just personal posts so people can get to know the real me and not just know me as the girl who works out and has her pro card. I want to show people there is a living, breathing human being that, you know, makes mistakes with her prep too and, you know, has moments where, where I'm like, why am I doing this again? You know, but
right, no.
Definitely.
If you haven't thought about putting it down permanently, you're not a competitor.
Right. You know, I want to have some realness with my posts. And so people are more than welcome to follow my journey. And then also follow my coach's page as well. It's at Hard Body Fitness PTG on Instagram. And then on Facebook, it's the same thing. Search Hard Body Fitness PTG. You're more than welcome to follow us. He's constantly posting different updates about us, and especially now that we have 3 pros, you're going to see a lot of posts on the pro level, on the pro circuit of us as we travel. So it's definitely going to be, 2018 is going to be lit. That's all I can say.
Hey, Whitney, you on
any additional?
Well, I was curious about the IG, moniker, the Cairo. What's the derivation of Cairo Triumph?
The name Cairo means he who triumphs over all things. So that's where I got the name from. And so I'm really big into, I guess, I don't believe a lot of the Zodiac stuff, but the one thing that I can say about my sign, I'm a Virgo. I was born September 10th. And for those that may wonder, I am 28. Years old, so fairly young. So hopefully, you know, as I mature with this sport, you know, we can hopefully see some further physical development for me. But I'm a Virgo, and a Virgo is a conqueror. That sign is more known for being a conqueror, not necessarily of other people. Yes, such an alpha, but. Not necessarily conqueror of people, but conqueror of anything that they set their mind to. So that's where I tied the name into. So triumph over adversity, triumph over things that may try to bring you down. And I tied it all together in that name.
That birthday was September 10th?
Yes, it is.
Good. Yeah, good. After your Facebook will remind me.
Whitney, I want to say it was absolutely refreshing talking to you tonight. Like, your outlook on so many things, super positive. And
well, thank
you. I just
want
to thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Mr. Hawley, did you happen to have anything?
I guess the last thing is Concrete Rose. You go by Concrete Rose, too. That seems appropriate.
Yes.
Kind of poetic. What's the derivation of that?
The Concrete Rose is actually the nickname that my coach gave me because, you know, you have that hard exterior on the outside because it's just, you know, different things I've been through in life, different struggles. But then you have to realize that there's beauty in the person.
Awesome.
That's hiding underneath a lot of things that may have happened to her. So. He gave me a nickname, Concrete Rose, and so I kind of just adapted it and took it on as my own, and so that's where I got that from.
It seems like you've blossomed in Charlotte. Where were you originally from again?
I am originally from Manassas, Virginia, which is right outside of D.C., about 30 minutes outside. So I've lived there all my life, and then I made the move down to Charlotte in about 3 years ago now.
Awesome. Well, you're killing it. Mm-hmm. You're making a name for yourself in Charlotte now, right?
I'm trying to get my face out there, definitely. And like I said, this has been a dream come true. Thank you. It's been a dream come true.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I very much look forward to meeting you in person, and you know, can't wait to see you actually make that debut.
Yes, I'm definitely going to be posting a lot more on my Instagram page and on my Facebook page. As I get ready for my pro debut, hopefully it will be in the spring or the early summer. That's what we're ballparking for sure, but I want to wait till that full schedule comes out so I can see where the other shows are going to be. But it's definitely looking like it's going to be May or June. So I'm super excited. I can't wait to see what we bring to the IFBB pro stage for sure.
as are we all.
And you mentioned... You mentioned you're 5'8 and a half, too, right? I believe they had you pegged at about 5'7 and a half on the national series.
Yeah. They had me shrinking, and I was like, am I getting that shorter? So I went to the doctor, and they were like, 5'8", you know, I'm like, really? And then I get down there, I'm like, I'm 5'7"? I'm like, Jesus, what happened?
You were still an F, so I guess it didn't matter in one respect, but in another respect, you are, you know, there was one girl I think was, there was at least one girl that was 6'1", I think, so you had some, girls that were much taller, so.
I was the shortest in my class. It was really weird because, goodness, I think it was the first time on stage where Terry was like, you know, you actually look short. Yeah, she looked little, and I was like, really? And then I saw the comparisons, I was like, oh gosh, it did look little. I get it. So it was kind of weird to see.
Well, that's awesome. Well, yeah, was just nerdishly wondering about some of those little finer points. So, yeah, congratulations on the win. I mean, Short History, that was literally your fifth show, right? It's...
Let me see. Victory Classic, Europa, National, Charlotte Cup, Junior USA's.
Her modern.
Yeah, National. Six. There's still six.
Well, I'm curious then, because there was Charlotte Europa, then 2016 Nationals, then Charlotte Cup, mm-hmm. 2017, and Junior USA's, right? What was the show? I missed one then.
The very first show was the Victory Classic. Oh, okay. That was a very small show in I believe it was in Kannapolis, North Carolina. That was my very first one back in June of 2016.
How'd you do in that?
I won that one. Yeah, I did win that one too.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, you didn't really hit any skids or speed bumps until you got to Nationals.
Right, until I got to the Nationals, and that, like I said, it was a learning experience for sure, but no, that prep, I learned what not to do. I learned what not to do.
And sometimes that is the lesson. No. Or, you know, what to do differently or to do less of. So yeah, I believe that, you know, you should take something away from every prep.
Yeah.
Oh yes, no, I learned that prep was a very big learning experience. I learned what colors work for me. I learned, you know, about hair and makeup. I learned about tanning for sure. That's why I loved my look at Junior USA, but the look that we brought to Miami, just overall everything.
Totally different.
Totally different. I loved it.
Markedly improved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. It was perfect.
And even so, like Travalis was saying earlier, 13th at Nationals isn't a bad thing, because there's a lot of sharp physiques at the national stage, mm-hmm. even in 16, but you brought it up with all the finer points. You went, mm-hmm. you had a kind of a little bit of a wave to your hair before, in the earlier shows.
Yes.
And you went with a straighter look.
Yes. Like I said, my first time in Miami, I didn't like anything about my look. I hated my suit. I hated all that. And the hair, that was something especially too. I was like, no, like we need to revamp everything. And so the biggest inspiration I had for my look was Sydney. And when I saw her compete at the Arnold that following March, and I saw how she came out on stage with the sleek straight hair and the purple, and purple is my favorite color. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? That's the look. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let's see if we can model this. And so I found the look that I liked. I found the suit. All my suits have been made by the same suit maker, Suits by Jody. I'm now officially sponsored by her. So yay, I'm very happy about that. My first one, so I'm very excited about it. And once I found the look, hopefully so, fingers crossed. So I guess once I found the look that I wanted, then I could focus on bringing up my physique to match what Terry wanted to bring to the stage for sure.
I totally love that look. I mean, you know, that you've got those lines and that purple suit that are kind of it's almost a geometric sort of thing that accentuates your physique, and then with that straight hair, whereas you have a comparison photo from 2016 Nationals with a yellow suit, the wavy hair.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes mm-hmm. your shoulders and lats almost look boxy a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Whereas that design in the suit, everything, mm-hmm. and your color's a little bit different, but I think it's, and did you adjust your posing a little bit too? Have you tweaked your posing? Is that,
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, I changed everything. I hated my routine too. I changed my routine as well. My front pose, I felt like, I didn't hold it enough. So what I do when I do any of my, when I do my routine when I walk out, I always make my walk slow. As slow as I can. I know on amateur level, you have to, with only so much time that we're allowed. But I purposely make my walk slow. When I do my front pose, I know a lot of judges don't like, a lot of girls I'll see, they kind of, if they're about to fly away on stage, they'll kind of, they're flapping their wings. I go right into my front pose and hold it because that's one of our mandatories. So I try to hold my front and my back the longest. I changed my model, my first model turn. Instead of having my leg bent, you'll see a lot of girls have their leg bent. When I have my leg straight, you're able to see more sweep to my quads. I'm able to kind of flex it so you can see my hips. You can see my hamstrings, which I definitely wanted to be able to showcase this time now that they were there. You could see my hip flexors. And then you could also, I could also make my waist look smaller. And so that's what I always used to call my signature pose. As soon as I was able to kind of master how I wanted to turn my body and to make my lats look wider. And again, changing that really, I felt like set me apart with my posing. Because I felt like I saw a lot of the same things, and I wanted to stand out. It's about being able to catch the judge's eye in such a short amount of time. And so I really wanted to focus on being able to capture that in my individuals and in my quarter turns.
You sound like a posing coach.
If I may, now Sid was actually in Miami for Nationals. Did you happen to get a chance mm-hmm. to meet her?
No, I didn't. I wish I could have, because I know she was doing interviews with a lot of the overall winners of the different divisions. So, unfortunately, I could not meet her, but I did. Just seeing her backstage, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's crazy. Like the reigning Miss Figure, and she was seemed so personable, so nice, and she was talking with people. By the time
super
they were trying to
super gracious,
yeah,
warm, and
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so unfortunately I couldn't meet her because at the time we were trying to get on. My class was being brought to the stage to do the top five, and then I had to stay on stage for the overall. And then they kind of like swept us off because they were trying to get through the other divisions, and we had to take photos. So unfortunately, I didn't get to meet her, but just seeing her and then seeing how she interacted with people who do look up to her, she was super humble and super nice. And I just was like, you know, that's a great face to have for, you know, our reigning Miss Figure Olympia for sure.
Well, I'll be sure to definitely tag her in this interview, and, you know, hopefully she reaches out.
Oh, thank you. That would be awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, it's been a joy. Oh,
Mr. Hawley.
It's been a joy chatting with you. I think we've tried to dig under all except the most personable of stones.
It's quite all right. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it for sure. Thank you.
Thank you. I've been.
No, like I said, it's been refreshing to talk to you. Your outlook is just so positive.
I've been staring at your photos for an hour here, so.
Hopefully all the good ones.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm like looking at that back. I'm going like, I've got some furniture that needs to be moved. I'm like, this girl can do work.
thank you. No, by all means, like, feel free to follow me on my, I'll follow my posts. We're going to be doing a lot of big things here in Charlotte, so. I'll be sure to keep you guys updated, but thank you so much for allowing me to share my story with you guys.
Yeah, one of the things that I've really been focusing on and trying to bring up this season is my middle back, my rhomboids. Shout out to Dr. Green over at Performance Driven Chiropractic here in Orlando, Florida. If you're in need of any work, guys, go ahead and pop in, tell them that Travalis Blunt sent you. They are literally chiropractic savants. You just simply have to describe the problem. You know, they kind of get to touching and feeling around and instantly find it and diagnose it and get you on the right track. And they've made me better in a matter of weeks. So I'm sure they can help you also. But I needed for my rhomboids to pop, and, you know, they've been working with the scraping and some cupping and all of these different procedures to really, you know, help me to be the best that I can be. So, yeah, if you're ever in need of any work, go and holler at Dr. Green over at Performance Driven.
Bombshell Fitness and B Physiques are your go-to brands for stage prep for the majority of women's divisions, along with men's physique on the local and national show circuit. Yet they are much more than that. Their founder, Shannon Day, and her staff empower Bombshell members to be their best, whether prepping for a bodybuilding stage or merely to fit into their cocktail dress or get that beach body tone for the family vacation. Likewise, the Bombshell B Couture clothing line provides the latest fashions, providing comfort and eye appeal for the trademark fitness features your Bombshell body requires. Visit bombshellfitness.com to sign up for the team and find out more. For the best look on stage and most convenient, hassle-free service for your bodybuilding fitness event spray tan, look no farther than Hotspot Competition Tanning. Elisa and her crew have perfected their service at contests throughout Florida and beyond with the recognition and support of the majority of athletes and event promoters. Visit HotspotCompetitionTanning.com to schedule your competition airbrush spray tanning and competition makeup and hair appointments.